While researching his new book, The Sports Gene, Inside the Science of Extraordinary Athletic Performance, David Epstein traveled the world to talk with elite athletes and the scientists who study them. He found a complicated web of genetics, training, ancient folklore, and debates about nature versus nurture. David Epstein joins me now. Welcome back to Only a Game.
Thanks for having me. My pleasure.
There's a long list of people offended by research into genetics and sports. You've got people who don't want to hear their race is at an advantage. You have people who don't want to hear they're at a disadvantage. And there are elite athletes who don't want a genetic fluke to get credit for their hard work. How is that hindering the efforts of scientists who are trying to learn more?
Well, sort of in two main ways. In some of the scientists I spoke with told me they would actually drop the word genetics from their scientific grant proposals and substitute it with something like molecular biology and protein synthesis, which is the exact same thing. And also, of course, there's the tie to race. And some of the scientists are concerned that documenting any physical difference between ethnicities can somehow be taken to support the idea of innate intellectual differences, even though the two have nothing to do with one another. I mean, I was at, you know, an American College of Sports Medicine conference in San Francisco where the head of a kinesiology department at a major research university told me he was not publishing data he had on ethnic differences because he was concerned about the implications. He was studying the response to a dietary supplement of exercisers. You withhold data like that, and you might be withholding useful information in a medical context.
Chrissy Wellington is the best female triathlete in history, 4 world championships, undefeated in 13 iron distance races. How did Wellington reach the pinnacle when she wasn't all that interested in focusing on athletics to begin with?
She had been sort of a recreational athlete who did what scientists call sampling, playing all kinds of different sports as a kid, you know, swimming, netball, all kinds of things. Her passion really was international economic and environmental development, and she went to do a water sanitation project, you know, in the foot of the Himalayas in Nepal. And there she bought a bike and sort of realized that she could hang with the Sherpas, you know, the people who were genetically adapted to altitude, biking it up to 15,000 feet. And, you know, she hadn't sat on a road bike until she was 27 years old. She came home, turned pro, and as a basically an unknown, won the world championships and then never lost. I mean, her message in the book is, don't be afraid to try something new. You never know what might change your life.
There's an old basketball adage, you can't coach height, and that certainly still proves true in the NBA, but maybe a better adage would be you can't coach wingspan?
That's true. So, well, both of those. So when I analyzed data from the NBA combines next to CDC data on American height, I found that an American man who's between the ages of 20 and 40, who's at least 7 feet tall, has about a 17% chance of being in the NBA right now. So that shows you how important height is. At the same time, most of these guys have extraordinarily long arm spans, even compared to their heights. So I'm about 1-to-1 exactly. My arm span is the same as my height. Most people are a little longer than that, 1.01-to-1. In the NBA, the average is 1.05-to-1. So not only are these guys ludicrously tall, but they're preposterously long.
Except for poor Yao Ming.
Except for Yao Ming, but being 7'5", you know, probably you're doing okay and you don't need to rely on your wingspan quite as much. He was one of 2 players I found who had arms shorter than his height.
According to one researcher's projections, 1 in every 20 million men in the world have innate world-class running talent. In Kenya, 1,600 in every 20 million have it. How do nature and nurture collide in Kenya's Kalenjin region?
So when we think of, you know, I think Americans think of Kenyans as being great distance runners and marathoners. In Kenya, they think of the Kalenjin tribe as being the great runners. And they only represent 10 to 12% of the population, but they happen to have very long, thin limbs. That's an adaptation for cooling. Same reason your radiator has long coils to increase the surface area to the volume. And because the leg is a pendulum, having long, thin limbs makes it much more energy efficient to swing. So you have this group of people, the Kalenjin, who have on average, not talking about any individual, but a body type conducive to running. And then you have this environment where they're growing up at altitude, which increases the surface area of your lungs. They're running to and from school, so they're staying fit, they're staying lean, they're learning if they're good at it. They will literally, when I would go to the dirt tracks there, someone would walk off of a subsistence farm and just try to run right alongside a guy with a gold medal, you know, on a dirt track with sheep grazing on the infield. So you have this huge number of people who are basically giving it a shot, and not by jogging, but really by training. So you have a good talent pool and a great talent sifting mechanism with a large group of people training.
We've done a lot of coverage of sports concussions and chronic traumatic encephalopathy on Only a Game, but I was surprised to learn about the role a genetic variation may play in brain trauma. Tell us about APOE4.
So the APOE gene comes in three common variants, APOE2, 3, and 4. We all have two copies, one from mom and one from dad. And we've known since the early 90s that the APOE4 gene variant increases people's risk of getting Alzheimer's disease. And what's now quite clear is that it's actually involved in all manner of recovery from brain injury. So people who have the E4 version don't clear their brain as quickly of a certain protein after they get hit in the head. It's in about one-fifth to one-quarter of people normally, and it's showing up far overrepresented in studies of boxers and football players who have brain damage after their playing years. So this is, you know, in most of the book I say, hey, don't take your kid for genetic screening right now. But this is one case where I'm actually a little frustrated that people aren't more aware that maybe they could get a test that wouldn't say, hey, don't play football, but you might be at increased risk.
Your book isn't only about elite performers. You write, if one sport or training method isn't working, it may not be the training. It may be you in the very deepest sense. What's your advice for everyday athletes who are trying to find sports or activities tailored for their bodies?
Everything that's marketed to the casual exerciser, which is what I am now, having been a competitive athlete in the past, is cookie cutter. You know, whether it's a spinning class or whatever. Obviously, some of those are good. Like the genius of CrossFit is that it uses intervals and intensity. But if you're not benefiting from a certain training plan as much as your training partner, don't be afraid to try something else. Just like medical genetics showed us that because of variations in genes involved in metabolism of acetaminophen, my one Tylenol might not be as effective as your one Tylenol. We should take that approach to trying to learn about our own biology while we train. If you're just training blindly without kind of an eye toward trial and error, then you're not really looking for the optimum environment for your genome, which is unique in the entire world.
David Epstein is a senior writer for Sports Illustrated and the author of The Sports Gene, Inside the Science of Extraordinary Athletic Performance, which is published by Current. He joined me from NPR's New York Bureau. David, thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.
Have your genetics led you to sports success, or did you fail to make JV while your twin sister led the team to the state title? Tell us your story at facebook.com/onlyagameradio. You're listening to Only a Game.